Hope you had a good time for Bible study. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, that's so well done. I kind of don't want to eat pieces. Verses 36 to 39. Wonderful, precious, holy book, the Word of God says. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, having to do with the return of Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ is coming back? Do you know the day and hour? Look at the difference. What? Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the day, now he gives you this parallel here, an analogy to compare to, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then he kind of explains it. For as in the days that were before the flood, it has to do with the actual second advent, he's in there for 7 days. It's almost like things are going on during that period of time. But for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. So after he entered into the ark, there was more of a concern they had. Something happened. But what he's describing is a condition of the mind that is oblivious to what's getting ready to happen. Guaranteed. There'd be more than one ark that was built if they knew what was going to happen. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, here's just this little phrase. And knew not. It's as if their minds were dead and numb to what God was getting ready to do. Until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So that's why I look at this and I call this lesson Noah and the Numbskull. Because I believe what happened to their minds, they became numbskulls. Their ability to think properly about what God was trying to show them became seared and numb, empty in their minds, empty in their heart of the truth of God. Amen? Now, when you think of Noah's day, what do you think of? Anyone? What kind of things are going to happen? Hey, it's good to see you guys. When you think of Noah, what do you think of the kind of things that are going to happen in Noah's day? You know, anybody. Violence. What's that? Permissive. Is that what you said? Yep. It's going to rain. This is before the actual flood. What things? Scoffing. You know, perversion, wickedness. The Bible says evil imaginations. You get all these kinds of things. A lot of people go into the Nephilim, you know, the giants in the earth in those days and after that. And so what we want to look at today will be kind of an incentive in your thought process, a little bit of a different way of thinking, maybe even a more practical way that might be something we could kind of slump into. Say, what's that? Noah and the Numbskull. Hearing it so often that it's like, yeah, right. What happened? How many years was Noah preaching to them? Huh? Yeah, right. That's what can happen. Noah and the Numbskull. Do you know one? So they knew not until the flood came. And what prompted this whole conversation that Christ is having with them is in verse number 3. Where they said, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And he gives a whole list of things, think the wars and the rumors. But then he brings out Noah. And one of the things, that he brings out Noah and he brings out Lot, the two of them. He does this, I think, in the Gospel of Luke also. You know, it's a funny thing because the Bible says Lot was a righteous man. I never think of him as a righteous man. Was he righteous because his works were obedient to his faith, Or was he righteous because he had an obedient faith? He believed God. That's why he was called righteous. Noah took it a step further. He moved with fear. Noah's righteousness involved his walk, not just his talk. Amen? And that's, oh, well, Lot was still saved. Yeah, but he lost a whole lot. Amen? I don't think it was worth it. But there's a huge difference in those two different type of believers. And so Noah and the numbskull. So, like, let's maybe just clarify what I mean by a numbskull. When you think of the word numbskull, it's usually thought of as an insulting and almost a provocative kind of word when you call somebody a numbskull. You know, back in the day, those are kind of like fighting words. Now you need more than that to get into it. I personally believe numbskull is a genuine and accurate descriptive word that God's long-suffering would use. Because it's a mind that becomes numb over a period of time. I think it's the perfect word God's long-suffering would use. That's why I'm using it, especially in the times of Noah. When you think of numbskull, you think of somebody that's a dunce or a blockhead or a dimwit or a pudding head or a nincompoop, a name that shows contempt. It's an adjective called a pejorative, I believe, something like that. But it has a deeper meaning than that when it comes to the use of the word numbskull, if the long-suffering of God were to use it. Eventually it became, when you think of numbskull, it's destined to become like a byword, and almost like a descriptive butt of jokes, traditionally. You know, he's one card short of a deck. That person, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You ever hear that? That person over, that woman over there, she's one fry short of a happy meal. You ever hear that? What's that, brother? You got one? Pulling with one. One of the original usages of numbskull in its the evolution of the meaning of the word is this: one who refuses to learn or grow. It becomes numb. Skull. But there's a reason that you become a numbskull. It's right here. You don't want it. That's the danger we got to be careful of, brother. We got to be careful being pulled into an insensitivity to the reality of the coming certain return of Christ and an impending judgment that's going to follow on this earth. You can't become numb to it. And it's easy to in the day and age we live in. Be careful. Amen. I mean, I can personally see how long-suffering could stay in sadness, because God's not doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Poor, poor, poor fellow. What a numbskull. I can see the Holy Ghost saying, I gave him a chance, and then they didn't listen, so I turned them over to, I gave another chance, and I turned them over to again and again and another chance and again and again. That which made note of God was shown unto them, and they didn't want it, and they received not the love of the truth, and they refused to hear the cry of wisdom that I was trying to get. I got poor, poor, poor fellow. What a numbskull. It's the long-suffering of God. The long-suffering of God, if he could use an adjective to describe people that know not God, what he would say, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he would say numbskull. Amen? The word numb is a deadened, seared way of thinking or feeling. Amen? Because when it comes to the word of God, they reject the truth. You don't want it. You don't want it anymore. It's a little bit more sophisticated than what meets the eye. It meets the heart, the way I'm using it. Amen? It's what God really means when he says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool, you know, he's a numbskull. He's an obstinate numbskull. Or when little man Paul would say, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Can you imagine God calling you a fool? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou possess? Everybody knows you're not taking nothing with you. Everybody knows that. Amen? Amen? So what is that? It's a materialistic numbskull. It's a willingly ignorant numbskull. It's somebody that rejects the word of God. It's repeated. Oh, the first time it's like, oh. And then again. And then again. And then it's like, oh boy, a lightning bolt didn't strike me. You become numb to the reality of God's judgment, because long-suffering is long-suffering. This is what Jesus Christ spoke about John the Baptist. He said they didn't know. He says it in Matthew 17. He was in the world, and he made the world, and the world, and he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. 20 years of my life, I refused to hear the voice of the wooing of the Holy Spirit tell me he's God. Amen? Say, what was I? I was a numbskull. Amen? Don't lose hope. Numbskulls can get saved. Amen? And such were some of you. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. We don't want to hear what John the Baptist has to say. We don't want to hear the message of repentance. Amen? So John the Baptist has a ministry that precedes the heralding of the Messiah himself, warning people that they need to, R-E-P-E-N-T, but they had no idea, knew him not, no idea. I'm telling you right now, but the world has no idea. Well, should we wear masks? Don't wear masks. What about the variant? What about this? Should we go to this? Do we got to do this? Is this going to happen? Are we going to have the Olympics? Everybody's got all these things that are cluttering their minds. What about the stock market? What about, Black Lives Matter? What about the newest stuff hitting the church? Critical race theory and all this stuff that's going. What about this, that, in Israel? And it's like all this stuff. And I'm going to put it down into a nutshell. Jesus Christ is coming back. Soon. So what's that mean? It means you better not become a numbskull. Don't think he's not going to come back because he hasn't come back yet. There's an artist depiction. Just imagine an artist depiction of Noah and the Ark in a British museum. A little girl leaning on a railing says, humbly and honestly, look, mommy, why is Noah bringing in two canaries? Wow. What perception. Back in 1911, John Scott Haldane, known as the father of oxygen therapy, suggested using canaries to detect deadly levels of carbon monoxide in the coal mines. Brothers, used up in the 1980s, then they stopped it because they considered inhumane to allow canaries to die in service to protect human beings. Animal cruelty, you know what I mean? That's how they considered. But now we've got technology. I think electronic noses, all that kind of stuff. But what it was when the canaries stopped singing, there wasn't enough oxygen in the mine. See what they said? We better get out of here. Amen? Look, mommy, why is Noah bringing We better get out of here. Judgment's coming, brother. That's what that artist depiction, if you can envision, is talking about. So I'm going to ask five questions that I believe people have become numb to. It's not the little child humbly and honestly leaning on a rail and just wanting to know, what's this mean? It's people that are using their unbelief to justify their unbelief. It's a circular world of stupidity. They've got numbskulls. I'm going to ask five questions. First one, you should know, you should write down the answers if you want. Question number one, and look, notice the posture of each one of them. Question number one, knowing the numbskull, who? So here comes somebody. Yo, chuckle, 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 chuckle. This is bold insincerity. It's a question asked. They don't really want the answer. Amen. Yo, yo, who? Hey, let's cut to the chase and put an end to this Bible thumping nonsense right from get go. Amen. Who was Noah's wife? How ridiculous is that? How ridiculous to find any reason to deny this book is the Word of God without sincerely, as a skeptic, wanting to understand the truth. But people will do that. Noah, his wife, this is classic unbelief, brother, right out of the gate. It's the posture of bold insincerity. So let's lay this down to help us establish the rest of the answers to the question. And in your practical life, Psalm 33, verse 4. Because I believe that when you disobey God, you come up with insane questions just like that. Why do I got to take God serious? I mean, anybody know the name of Noah's wife? I do. Psalm 33, verse number 4. What's that, brother? There you go. The brother's got the answer right there. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is what? Right. The principle of what's right is the right out of the gate. Let's get it right. Amen. God's word is right. Hey, Noah, we don't even know your wife's name. How do we know she really exists? Are you even really married? You know, legitimate marrying, given in marriage, but is it legal? Maybe you just want that $300 monthly check that they're trying to give to people that have kids. Amen. Maybe you're in it for the wrong reason. Maybe you're secretly married for money. You're fear-mongering for the purpose of getting money. Amen. Tradition says her name is Naamah, but her name is told you in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5, oh, let me go there. Genesis 5, verse 2. This is the book of the generation of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created him and blessed him. And God called their name what? Mr. and Mrs. Adam. So what was her name? Mrs. Noah. That's right. Mrs. John. There's Mrs. Andy. Mrs. Bill. Mrs. Jim, Mrs. Chris, Mrs. Christian back there. Mrs. Noah. Remember that simple truth. Because Noah means rest. Mr. and Mrs. Noah had rest. Just believe the book and you'll have rest in your soul. We get to these other questions. This isn't about, you know, fear-mongering for money. This is about taking the word of God seriously, even though the questions that are asked oftentimes regarding Noah aren't serious. The day and age we live in right now has no idea what's getting ready to happen. How about you and me? You know what's getting ready to happen? Brother, a trumpet's getting ready to blow. Christ is getting ready to call us home, and this world is getting ready to go through a judgment. They have no idea what it's going to be like. Hell on earth. Question number two. Noah and the numbskull. Who? Here's one. What? What? Look at this in Hebrews chapter 11. First one is, yo, come on. This one is, knock, knock. Hello? Hello? Here's Noah and his family. They're in the ark. Hello, day number one. What rain? You know, they did, maybe they tipped over cows and stuff back then also, but they went and they knocked on the door of the ark. Hello, everybody. Hello, what rain? That's what they did. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 11. What? What do you mean rain? Hebrews chapter 11. I love the word of God. You better get this, because we're surrounded by a bunch of numbskulls that don't, and they could pull you. Numbskulls, I think it's more contagious than COVID-19. And more deadly. Hebrews chapter number 9. There's a cure and it's not a vaccine. You say, what is the blood of Jesus Christ, brother? And faith in this book. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. Do you realize we think of faith? It's not just believing. Faith is accompanied with a warning response. He responded to a warning. It's not just like, well, I don't have faith. There's no problem. What's going to happen? There's a warning that accompanies God challenging you. You better believe. Amen. So by faith, knowing, being warned of God of things what? not seen as yet. I'm going to read you a few verses. What rain? Why would they say what rain? Why would they say what? What rain? Not seen as yet. Did Noah ever see rain before the flood? So it says this. You can mark down these two verses. One of them is Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. He sent a mist up. No rain on the earth. He had not caused it to rain on the earth. Next time you find the word rain is in Genesis 7, 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. He had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and then here comes Noah, some 1,600 years later. I will cause it. What? What rain? I've never seen any rain. I mean, let's look in. Have you seen any rain? No, I've never seen rain. Have you seen any rain? No, I've never seen any rain. What rain? What are you talking about? It's a posture of condescension. What rain? Hello? You in there? Anybody in there? Yeah, I'm in here. Let me tell you something. You're not. Have you ever seen heaven? You ever seen hell? What is truth? Jesus Christ, when he returns, the Bible uses the metaphor description of his return as rain. The rain of God's kingdom is going to rain on this earth. Called the former and the latter rain. There's Joel chapter 2, chapter 3, and James chapter 4, 5, chapter, all throughout the Bible, rain. He's coming up. The Bible says God opened up the windows of heaven. It's not just the atmospheric, moisture that came pouring down. There's not enough water in the atmosphere to drench this planet to rise the water up 15 feet higher than the Great Deep. Yeah. He calls it the windows of heaven. Say, you believe that? Yes, I do. Say, why? I guess you could say I'm not an homeschooler. Brother, don't stop witnessing. Don't stop blessed hoping, because numbskulls can get saved, amen? Who? What? All right, here's another one. 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing the numbskull. When? People get wore out waiting for God to answer prayer. Before this is over, what a wonderful lesson. Before this is all over. Did no one know how long he was going to be in the ark? All he was waiting. There's no rudder, there's no steering wheel, there's no map, there's no captain of the ship, there's no sails, there's just a big box, kind of looks like a coffin. And so it's just floating. And oftentimes you may feel like you're just floating, like does God really care? I mean, is he really touched with the feeling of my infirmities? Is he kind of insensitive? Almost me? Why is he making me live through this? And he's waiting, and he's waiting, and no idea how long. Until it's over. And it's dry land. And you know what he does when he opens the doors and he sees it's all dry? You know what he does? He steps back. And he waits. Because he discovers the wages of God is the best place you can be when it comes to time. Your will and my will is. I'm just going to read what God tells me to be in this ark.
I love it.
When? 2 Peter chapter 2, I think it is. Or 3. It's 2 Peter. The long suffering of God, brother. That's why God is tarrying. Why God is allowing you to wait. It's his long suffering. It's working in your life. Give him the time that he believes you need, because there was a time that needed to happen before Noah could get out of that ark. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this, don't be a numbskull, brother, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Walking. This is the squawker's posture of arrogance.
Stop! Rolling, stop! You're the old Groucho Marx. Stop!
So, when is this judgment gonna come? I mean, we've been waiting around all these years, so when is it gonna happen?
Christians say that. I mean, you know, gee, Dad, Mom, you guys been saying Christ is gonna return. I listen to preachers that died, and they said Christ is gonna return. And, you know, the revivalists said Christ is gonna return, and the reformers said Christ is gonna return. And the fathers of the New Testament said Christ is gonna return. And the apostles said Christ. And Jesus said Christ is gonna return. I mean, so I said, when? Be careful. No one knows. They knew not. They didn't realize what God was doing. Taking his time. Waiting for what? The perfect time. That's when he, you ever notice? When he always does it. You know when Israel was on waiting to cross the Red Sea? What was God doing? Okay! And when? Waiting for the perfect time. Exactly. That's what he's doing in your life. See what he's doing? For the perfect time. So he says in verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? When's it going to happen? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things. Right. When's it going to happen? And let me tell you something. That preacher's been saying that ever since he's been preaching. You know that? You see Christ coming back again? You know he's going to come back again? The Bible says it was 120 years God tarried after he told Noah this morning. Noah didn't necessarily know it was 120 years, but he said 120 years, that's it. That's over, brother. Now you read through in Genesis, the Bible says it's the long-suffering of God that's waiting over there, verse number 9. He's not slack concerning his promise. But he's long suffered, doesn't want anybody to perish. Noah the numbskull. So, you know what can happen to Christians today? He ain't coming back. Because he hasn't come back yet. What a foolish way to think. He's not coming back, but he hasn't come back yet. Amen. In Genesis 5, you read about Noah's father, Lamech. He lived for over 50 years before Adam died. Enoch, Noah's great grandpappy. Lived over 400 years before Noah was born and preached judgment with God. When? Not his lifetime. Not Adam's lifetime. Amen. Noah was born while every patriarch was still alive except Adam, Seth, and Enoch. I mean, obviously this is the long-suffering of God. When? See, people think the long-suffering of God ends with their lifetime. It just keeps going and going and going. But it doesn't end. Methuselah was a preacher, and his name had to do with the judgment of God. Enoch was a preacher, and he preached about the judgment of God. Noah was a preacher, the Bible says, of righteousness. God told him, I'm getting ready to judge this world. Amen? And everybody knew that when Methuselah died, something big was going to happen. So they're all holding their breath. Methuselah, prayer chain, Methuselah's going to the doctrine. Oh, God, no. Methuselah is still alive. Nothing happened. Nothing's ever going to happen. Why? Because it never has in my lifetime. When? Noah, his flood does not mark the beginning, but the end of God's suffering. Remember that. Don't forget that. I mean, look at these people. You've got Enoch. Oh, wait. You got Adam. Then you have Seth. They need help. Unless you know it. Then you got Enosh. Then you got Cain. Then you got Mahalaleel. Then you got Jared. Then you got Enoch. That's what sent judgment. Then you got Methuselah. Then you got Lamech. Then you got Noah. Okay? So what you're seeing right here is Noah is when Lamech is alive, right here.
Everybody's alive. Everybody's alive. God's going to send his son. God's not going to tolerate this, but he's going to squash that serpent's head. He's going to send judgment. Noah's alive. Everybody's alive but Adam, Seth, and Enoch. Noah's father spoke face to face with Adam. You get that? Judgment's coming, man. God says that he's going to judge the serpent. When? How long? What you're dealing with, this is about the arrogance of unbelief. It ain't gonna happen because it hasn't happened yet. But brethren, it did happen. And that is the evidence. It's going to happen. You can bet. Amen. There's a large boat that exists over there in the icy mountains of Turkey. Some say it's Noah's Ark. It's in the mountain range called Ararat. Polystrata fossils, where fossil is in this area of strata and in this area of strata, and the strata is separated by 1,000 years of ground depositing. The only thing is that no animal lives that long. Ossiferous fissures exist. You ever understand sink or swim? When things die, you look at your pool, you got a pool, and I used to have a pool, in the center of the pool was the low area, and all the debris went down from there. If you evacuated with regularity. There's pockets of fossils all around the world that are in low spots. Why? Amen. You don't go, elephants don't go to cemeteries where deer get buried. Amen. And deer don't go to cemeteries where lions get buried. Just in case they don't die. You've got land mountains with sea creature fossils on top of mountains. Amen? Fossils just don't happen, buddy. You just don't die and become a fossil. Oh, well, when I die, I will become a fossil. It doesn't work like that. It takes something rapid and cataclysmic. They're all over the world. Gee, something rapid and cataclysmic happened all over the world. Fossil fuel exists. Isn't it called fossil fuel? I mean, like vegetation and animal matter crushed and squished cataclysmically, very rapidly, to give us fat, gooey oil? All over the world, on every continent, mastodons exist all over the planet. How can they survive in these freezing cold weather? And when they're dug up, they've got vegetation in their body that's found in areas like the Caribbean. There's ancient universal narratives of the flood all over the world. The Chinese language, one of the oldest, has the word flood with the hieroglyphics, or however they use pictures, with a boat and the number 8. Sedimentary rock is all over the entire surface of this planet. It's covered with what's called sedimentary rock. Sedimentary rock is little pebbles of sand that moves because of water. Numbskulls. Your mind is numb. You mean you won't even consider the possibility that the Bible is true? Because if it is true, then it's the Word of God. You better take it seriously, because faith isn't just asking you to believe. There's a warning if you don't. Wow. You mean Jesus Christ is the Lord? You believe is the Lord? Yeah, but he can't be the Lord. He's either the Lord, liar, or lunatic. And if what he said is true, he's the Lord. If it's not true, he's a liar and a lunatic. But if what he says is true and you don't believe him, no one else does. The apostles, the Christian father, they all said it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. But it has in the past. He said, right there. I'm not going to be here if I can't get before it happens. But it's going to happen. That which already happened. Question number 3, when? Question number 4, who, what, when, if we're here? Knowing the numbskull, the big one. This is what I'm believing they got you. How?
Yo.
Settle down. Don't bleed that. Hello? Not anybody in there? So. Now it's bro. Smirk. Famous smirk. How's he gonna get all the animals in the yard? How's God gonna hear you? How are you gonna lead this man in this spirit? How's it gonna happen? Amen? How are you gonna get to this place? How are you gonna get there? Huh? Let's go have a beer or two. Let's talk about the nonsense. No one is not supposed to. There's only 8 people that got saved. Look at where we're doing pretty good. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How could he build an ark big enough? How could the animals all fit? How's he going to gather the animals? How much food is he going to get? This type of belief, unbelief, is based on academia. It's the posture of obstinate, educated pride. We're smarter than God. We know better. Amen. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What a frightening thing. The Bible says Noah moved with fear. The Bible says the long-suffering of God, when the ark was built, it was a preparing. Amen. You're thinking it's just the ark, it involves the preparation while that ark was being built. It was the preparation of God's long suffering coming to its end. Amen. Frightening the world this world is in its ignorance and its unbelief against God. It becomes arrogant and obstinate. This is learned unbelief. You have to learn how to respond with the standard rhetorical reflex question. Hey, bro. Bro! How big was the ark? Bro, how many animals did Noah put on the ark? Yeah, somebody, well, how big was the ark? Bro, so how many animals did God and Noah bring on the ark? So how much food was necessary to be on it? How long were they on it? They're asking questions that they don't even know what the questions are. It's unbelief, unbelief, unbelief. The heart of unbelief doesn't want the truth. Don't come to God with reasons why you can't believe, why you can't obey, why you can't wait, why you can't trust, why you can't heal. Don't come to God with a heart of unbelief. That brother is not so. Amen. No one's kin built the ark. The Bible said they moved with fear. Genesis 20 says it was 120 years long. Genesis 7 shows the ark. Let me show you some verses in Genesis 7 and chapter 8. What about the millions and the gazillions of insects? There's only 2 of every kind, by the way. But the insects and the worms and the fish and the crustaceans and the plant life, he tells you Genesis 7:22. All on whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. Most insects don't breathe through their nostrils. I don't know if you knew that. Amen. Most insects don't have nostrils. And fish live in the water and through their gills. Amen. And then all the worms, the worms and all that kind of stuff, worms survive in the water, by the way. You dump water in the ground, they come out. Amen. But most of these animals, 85% of the world animals don't breathe. They're not nostrils, they're air breathing animals. Amen. Land air-breathing animals. How big was the ark? You read about it in chapter 6, verse 15. Let me just show you this verse, Genesis 6, 15. So what you've got here, Genesis 6, 15, and this is the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, the height 30 cubits. 60, 30, 50. Here's the ark. Here's Noah's ark. What did you say? How high is it?
75 feet.
75 what?
Feet, isn't it? 75 feet.
75 feet. How long is it?
I think it's 450.
450 feet. How big is the football field? 300 feet. How high is it up in the air? So this is the wind. This is the light.
Burn.
What is the height?
30 cubits.
Huh?
30 cubits.
30 cubits, that's 45 feet. So you got three, the Bible says there's three stories. 15 feet, 15 feet, 15 feet. The proportion of this is 1 to 6. With what Navy and ship sailing people know, 1 to 6 is the ideal, the perfect ratio of building a boat for sturdiness and strength. Was this built to go on a cruise? This was built for one reason.
Survival.
Survival. That's it. And faith, they're just there and they're just floating around. You ever feel like that? What I tell you is, that's the perfect storm, the perfect ratio. Knows exactly what he's doing. Now, if you look at the cubic feet of this, it comes to like one, you know, you can go all by this, by this, by this, you get like 1.5 million, you know, plus cubic feet. How big was your? About 1.5 million cubic feet. How many animals were in the ark? Well, the very liberal statistics allow for 8,000. He didn't bring two German Shepherds and two pit bulls and two Pubbles and two everything. He brought two probably bulls. Yeah. Like that, right?
The wolf's name is Hanseatus. Every domestic dog scientific name is Hanseatus.
There you go. Comes from the common. One kind equals just two animals. Man, she would have all of a sudden, wow. They estimate about 7,000. What we call species is a broader term than what's way by the Bible calls kinds. Amen. So if you have two of each one, you've got 16,000 animals in the ark. There wasn't that many dinosaurs. The median size is much smaller than a sheep. I mean, they're not all elephants and rhinoceroses. Giant alligators, this, that, and the other. The median size is much smaller than the sheep. They say like 25 pounds. Of all the animals we have, even when you include the dinosaurs. Because when Noah brought the ark, the animals on the ark, you think he brought the giant, overweight, you know, fathers and mothers that are already gone through menopause? No, the purpose of this was to involve reproduction. Come on, tell me the truth. So he's got youth, they're small. Anybody ever hear of hibernation? They've got animals, they've got tortoises on record that have been on boats for over a year not waking up. They're hibernating. So they had a big come on, say it. For over a year not eating or drinking anything. Wow. Anybody ever hear of migration? Look at it in where does it say that God migrated? Chapter 6. Verse 18. Well, how's he gonna get the animal? So you got 8, you got 16,000, 16,000 animals. 1.5 million cubic feet, which equals to about 200, no, equals 500, how many, that equals 569 railroad cars. 569 railroad cars. Yeah, each one could hold about 240 sheep. So 240 sheep, most of these are much smaller than a sheep. How many railroad cars you need to hold the animals? 66. Wow, we got about 500 railroad cars left. And they figure about 15% for food storage and 10% for fresh water. Well, what about when you're running out of water? Food, 15-25%, but you're going to end up with half of the volume of the space, whether for weight rooms or running around track, king size bed. You can pick them. Amen. okay with me. What about me? What did the animal eat before the flood that was not there? What did they eat? What are the lions?
Vegetation. Vegetation.
Huh?
Vegetation.
That's chapter one. They all eat vegetation. So you have grain, which is much more compact than hay. 120 years, gather the food, build the ark, get ready to get in. We think he can do that. Especially if his life depended on it. And it did. So you've got 8,000 species filling that many cars, you've got that much space you need for food, you've got the half the volume of the ark for survival and local mobility with your understanding. And what about going to the bathroom? So even today they've got things with the animal van on the farms and the big things where they have side floors that are tilted and tipped. Amen. And then you don't have to change it every day. The animals crush it and goes down with good old bacteria. Amen. Or you don't have to clean your septic tank every single year. You don't have to. You don't if you treat it properly, that sort of thing. But what you're looking at is, and what about, you know, the methane? I think he said, what was wrong with the window? I get a lot of teachers, you know, all get hungry. What was it going on in the ark? Thank you, Lord. He's thinking of all the things before you're thinking of, amen? So he got rid of light, ventilation, and whatever else. But he's kind of like, well, you know, you got this big, huge door. Who shut the door? Shut the door. See, unbelievers don't want to know viable reasons why you can and should believe this book. Amen. They become nonsense. You know, all these questions, you know, how are you going to do this and the channeling of fresh water? You got these farmers, they got it around the world. You say, Noah wasn't able to think like that? He didn't have the wherewithal and all the sort of smarts. Amen. And you've got the, how long was in the ark? Oh, he was in the ark for when you go through the account in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, but over a year. It's about, he's in the ark for like 377 days over. Because he starts off with 7, just hanging out. Amen? And then there's another 370 days, and there's a period of time when it's all, the word is all a slosh. What a beautiful word. There's not just the beauty of the rainbow. After it's all over, when you're going through something, there's something beautiful that God can whisper in your ear while you're going through it. You say, what's that? A swash. That's a beautiful word. A swash. Amen. I find that in the old King James Bible, by the way. 377 total days. That's how much food. So what you get, the calculation of the food was 15% total volume, less than 10% water, fresh water. Not saying he couldn't have grown something in the ark afterwards. Has anybody ever grown food inside their house? Anybody? Tomatoes, lettuce, green beans, things like that, grow inside your house. Well, the last thing is that I want you to turn to this, Genesis chapter 7. Noah the numbskull. They knew not. The posture is unbelief, condescension, arrogance, but it ends with this, brother. This is how it ended. Yo! So! It's like, hey, bro. Wrapping the arm around you. What was the last one that you told me was? That one was wrapping the arm around you. Number three was. Oh, hello. These are all different. These are tones of unbelief. The last one is the killer. Unbelief becomes defiance. We are heading there. Who's the more patient? Look, no way I'm not going to leave this book. I'm not going to trust it. And you begin this defiant unbelief begins to, just like people that do wrong and don't get punished. Well, I'll do that too. That never happens to me. Amen? That never happens to them. I'll do it. That's what's happening in society. Amen? You got people saying, no, I'm not going to do this book. I'm not going to obey it. I'm not going to follow it. I'm not going to listen to it. Be careful, brother. Because this is no one ever knows what the last question. God will send the flood to destroy the earth. Isn't he a God of love? Yeah. Isn't he a God of grace? Isn't he a God of long suffering? Can I tell you to turn somewhere? Genesis chapter 7, in verse number 21, I think it is. No, it's Genesis 8, verse 4. Close.
7:20.
The waters returned from off the earth continually. After the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested. What does Noah mean? Rested. His name means rest. In the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, on the month of earth. Are you sure it doesn't say the 6th month, 17th day? Are you sure it doesn't say the 7th month, the 16th day? Do you think that was on purpose? Do you think that was on purpose? Do you think that God, who was controlling that, he had control of the runner, the Savior, the Spirit, and the winds. He was in control of that. You know what I mean? He's teaching you about something that won't suffer. Long suffering is to prepare me. Faith is important. And grace is holiness. Grace involves judgment. Because you know what's going on here? All this is happening in the world. We have no idea. You know the undercurrent of what's going on in the world? This is going on all over here. You go to, where's that place where they have the layers of rock? People go to Nevada? Where's it? Grand Canyon. But they see all these different layers. It's like, how did that happen from a flood? Amen? It's like, wow, look at all that. While all this is happening, these waters are going through and they're carving and they're shaping like a mighty sculptor. God is using water. He's ice sculptor. God is using water. Over there in Jerusalem, he's cutting something. He's cutting the ground something, the shape of something. When the waters go, it looks like it all abates. You go over there in Jerusalem, and it looks like, you know what it looks like? Called Golgotha. You don't understand it. But you understand it's also called Calvary. It's not just the judgment of God, it's the grace of God. Because the grace of God is done despite, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, the Lord is himself. It's done despite the grace of God. It's to despise it, despise and reject it, repent. No! God says, no. What day was the Passover lamb crucified on? The 14th day of the same month. Hey, no, sure. The 14th day of this month was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. How many days later did he? How many days later did he resurrect? God is bringing in life, brothers. I want you to have peace and rest. Long suffering, faith, and grace. He's teaching you this. If you're not a dumb skull. Because I'm making a prediction, brother. I don't believe this. But it's just what I believe, okay? I believe that we're going to have a bounce back. And in the last days, there's going to be full of godliness. We're going to deny the power of God. Amen. See that? In the last days, that's what's going to happen. There's going to be this movement of the Holy Spirit that's counterfeited by the movement of an unclean spirit. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. We'll be closing. spying. Don't fall prey to it, brother. He said they do not. The way of thinking, it's a numb skull. Their conscience in the last days, the Bible says, is scared. But don't you do this? What am I going to walk out there? Well, because you don't understand the law of grace. Grace is never permission to sin. It's freedom from sin, not to sin. It's liberty, but there's the rising creatures that are ringing with a different sound than the liberty bell of the gospel. I hear it. I'm frightened for young people who are not in this day and age like this. Amen. They do not. Unbelief, when it's defiant, says, no. I don't have to take God serious, church serious, the Bible serious, prayer service serious, giving serious, witnessing serious. I don't have to take it seriously. What a numbskull. Here's the last page, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Numbskull! Gotta bring you right to Calvary. What are you going to do with that place called Calvary, the place of a skull? The Bible says, let this mind be in you. Waiting discovers what it means to just not stop thinking, but to stop moving. Trust God. And he showed the right side path, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant. It's not that people can't know. They don't want to know. People are smarter than God and stronger than God. You know what they said? No. No. It's the tone. It's the facial expression. I'm telling you right now, don't get caught up in it. Never compromise the holiness of God because you think you're smarter than it. Or you think you love deeper than it. Because holiness will never do that. That's willing ignorance. Noah and the numbskull. You're going to run across them. Hopefully you'll use these answers when you do. Anybody got any questions, actually, or anything?
Noah, that ark was the size of a small aircraft carrier.
Small aircraft carrier. Here you go. If you carry the animals and food. Anybody else? Amen. Leave this book. Lord bless you. Amen. Stop. Thank you for coming to church, brethren. Thank you.